Part 2. The Pacific Ocean. Chapter 37. The ship sank. It made a sound like a monstrous metallic burp. Things bubbled at the surface and then vanished. Everything was screaming, the sea, the wind, my heart. From the lifeboat, I saw something in the water. I cried, "Richard Parker! Is that you? It's so hard to see. Oh, that this rain would stop. Richard Parker? Richard Parker? Yes, it is you." I could see his head. He was struggling to stay at the surface of the water. "Jesus, Mary, Muhammad, and Vishnu, how good to see you, Richard Parker. Don't give up, please. Come to the lifeboat. Do you hear this whistle? Tree, tree, tree. You heard right. Swim! Swim, you're a strong swimmer. It's not 100 feet. He had seen me. He looked panic-stricken. He started swimming my way. The water about him was shifting wildly. He looked small and helpless. "Richard Parker, can you believe what has happened to us? Tell me it's a bad dream. Tell me it's not real. Tell me I'm still in my bunk on the Tsimshian, and I'm tossing and turning, and soon I'll wake up from this nightmare. Tell me I'm still happy. Mother, my tender guardian angel of wisdom, where are you? And you, father, my loving worrywart, and you, Ravi, dazzling hero of my childhood. Vishnu, preserve me. Allah, protect me. Christ, save me. I can't bear it. Tree, tree, tree." I was not wounded in any part of my body, but I had never experienced such intense pain, such a ripping of the nerves, such an ache of the heart. He would not make it. He would drown. He was hardly moving forward, and his movements were weak. His nose and mouth kept dipping under water. Only his eyes were steadily on me. "What are you doing, Richard Parker? Don't you love life? Keep swimming, then. Tree, tree, tree! Kick with your legs! Kick, kick, kick!" He stirred in the water and made to swim. "And what of my extended family? Birds, beasts, and reptiles? They too have drowned. Every single thing I value in life has been destroyed. And I am allowed no explanation? I am to suffer hell without any account from heaven? In that case, what is the purpose of reason, Richard Parker? Is it no more than to shine at practicalities, the getting of food, clothing, and shelter? Why can't reason give greater answers? Why can we throw a question further than we can pull in an answer? Why such a vast net if there's so little fish to catch?" His head was barely above water. He was looking up, taking in the sky one last time. There was a life buoy in the boat with a rope tied to it. I took hold of it and waved it in the air. "Do you see this life buoy, Richard Parker? Do you see it? Catch hold of it. I'll try again. He was too far, but the sight of the life buoy flying his way gave him hope. He revived and started beating the water with vigorous, desperate strokes. "That's right. One, two, one, two, one, two. Breathe when you can. Watch for the waves. Tree, tree, tree." My heart was chilled to ice. I felt ill with grief. But there was no time for frozen shock. It was shock inactivity. Something in me did not want to give up on life, was unwilling to let go, wanted to fight to the very end. Where that part of me got the heart, I don't know. "Isn't it ironic, Richard Parker? We're in hell, yet still we're afraid of immortality. Look how close you are! Tree, tree, tree! Hurrah! Hurrah, you've made it, Richard Parker! You've made it! Catch!" I threw the life buoy mightily. It fell in the water right in front of him. With his last energies, he stretched forward and took hold of it. "Hold on tight, I'll pull you in. Don't let go. Pull with your eyes while I pull with my hands. In a few seconds, you'll be aboard and we'll be together. Wait a second. Together? We'll be together? Have I gone mad? I woke up to what I was doing. I yanked on the rope. Let go of that life buoy, Richard Parker. Let go, I said. I don't want you here, do you understand? Go somewhere else. Leave me alone. Get lost. Drown. Drown. He was kicking vigorously with his legs. I grabbed an oar. I thrust it at him, meaning to push him away. I missed and lost hold of the oar. I grabbed another oar. I dropped it in an oar lock and pulled as hard as I could, meaning to move the lifeboat away. All I accomplished was to turn the lifeboat a little, bringing one end closer to Richard Parker. I would hit him on the head. I lifted the oar in the air. He was too fast. He reached up and pulled himself aboard. Oh, my God! Ravi was right. Truly, I was to be the next goat. I had a wet, trembling, half-drowned, heaving and coughing 3-year-old adult Bengal tiger in my lifeboat. Richard Parker rose unsteadily to his feet on the tarpaulin, eyes blazing as they met mine, ears laid tight to his head, all weapons drawn. His head was the size and color of the life buoy, with teeth. I turned around, stepped over the zebra, and threw myself overboard.